The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. Today we are breaking down the Indiana Wake Forest matchup on Saturday. My name is Sammy Jacobs. Along with us is our co-host TJ Inman. He'll be along shortly. We're going to go over the game against Wake Forest Saturday at 3:30. It'll be televised on Big Ten Network. It is in Bloomington. The weather is supposed to be spectacular. So hopefully there's a good fan turnout, and we'll talk about that as well on the show. TJ, how are you?
I'm doing very well, thanks. How are you doing?
I'm doing excellent. The open week kind of threw me for a loop. It felt like another off season, but now we have 10 straight weeks of Power Five conference opponents, and we're ready to, we're ready to go.
Yeah, 10 straight weeks, for better or worse. You know, it's something we talked about in our last podcast, that the early bye week presents you with advantages and disadvantages. That's the case for any time you have a bye week. It's just going to come down to how well did the Indiana players and coaching staff use this off week. I think that there were some hints dropped from coaches' comments here during these past 2 weeks, whenever he's talked to the media about Indiana putting an emphasis on getting through those 2 weeks, and then kind of, like we talked about, you know, taking the bye week to kind of assess what went right, what went wrong. And I think that you'll see a little bit of a more, I think the game plan is going to be a little bit different here after those 2 weeks. I think you'll see a little bit more creativity on offense. And I think you'll maybe see – I don't think you'll see much of a change on the defensive side of things. But I think the offense, you're going to see a little bit more creativity put into place. And certainly that'll be the case with different personnel as well, if they can get guys healthy. But it's going to be really interesting to see how they've used the bye week, how they come back off of it against a very good opponent that we're here to preview.
Yeah, and Wake Forest is coming in 3-0. Statistically, they have a top 10 defense. They're allowing under 13 points a game at 12.7, allowing under 80 rushing yards a game, and 247.7 total yards per game. So this defense, I know their opponents haven't been great in Tulane, Duke, and Delaware, but Duke was receiving votes at the time that they played. It was a conference road game for Wake Forest, and it was a very impressive performance. The Delaware game, yes, they let up 21 points, but the offense gave Delaware the ball inside their own 20 a couple of times for them to score touchdowns. So really they kept Delaware under 100 total yards. And a lot of factors go into that, whether it be where their starting field position is or just how good this defense is. But it is a very, very good defense. They get a lot of tackles for loss. I think it's Ijafor, is their defense end, big time player, had 6.5 tackles for a loss, 4.5 sacks, and their linebacker Markel Lee has 3 tackles for loss. So their defense is going to be aggressive, going to get in the backfield, and Indiana's offense is going to have to be ready to go. And when we talked to players this week, it was all about getting the ball out quickly, getting the balls to receivers quickly, and really having trust between Richard Lego and his receivers to be in the right spots at the right time to kind of offset the Wake Forest pressure.
Yeah, I think that the tackles for loss are something that stands out. In addition, the run defense stands out to me when I was looking at the, I say tape, but, you know, I'm not watching tape. When I was looking at their online video to prepare for this game, especially the game against Duke, because I think that's probably the most comparable level of competition you're going to get. Although Duke's attack was pretty interesting that game. They very rarely handed that to their running backs. And then, you know, watching them against Northwestern, they tried a little bit more, Duke did, to get their running game going with their running backs. But again, it was mostly just quarterback zone read keeps and then passing. So Duke didn't really try to establish their running game. But that being said, Wake Forest held Tulane to 3.1 yards per carry. And Tulane is in a transition with new head coach Willie Fritz trying to get a kind of a triple option game going. So hard to tell what to take from that. But they were 3.1 yards per carry. Duke was 1.2 yards a carry. And Delaware only 2.2 yards a carry. So, you know, I don't really care who you're playing. Holding your opponent to that level for three straight weeks is really good rush defense. And Indiana did not do particularly well, you know, mildly concerning, I think. Part of that is Dan Feeney being out. But still, you know, that's something to look for, no doubt, against the Wake Forest front that has so far proven to be really stout as expected coming in. This was not a surprise. It's not like there's some three-week fluke. They were a very good defense last season. They were expected to be this season, and they are. So it's going to be very interesting to see how Indiana handles the front of Wake Forest, not just protecting Richard Leggo, but also establishing the running game, which we know, and Kevin Wilson said this in the press conference, you know, it's about establishing the run and stopping the run. That's how Indiana wants to start their game, and he said Wake Forest wants to do much the same. And he's right. On offense, that's what Wake Forest is going to look to do as well. But I think that the first thing to watch for is going to be who controls that line of scrimmage. Is it going to be the IU offensive line, or is it going to be the Wake Forest defensive line? I think you're going to see a lot of what you saw against Florida International, which was quick passes. You can call them bubble screens or tunnel screens. I think you'll see more of that. They barely used it against Ball State, which I thought was interesting. But I do think you'll see more of that to Mitchell Page, maybe some to Ricky Jones, get him involved that way. You might see maybe that's another thing. We don't know. We didn't see practice at all these 2 weeks, so we don't know who excelled at practice, who struggled, if it makes any difference to playing rotation, you know, if anybody has gotten healthier or gotten banged up. We don't know any of that, so it's a little bit difficult to preview that, but I think based on what we know, I think you'll see some of those short quick slants, short bubble screens, short tunnel screens. I think it's an area Indiana has good playmakers, and they can get them the ball in space. That'd be good. You're limiting the effect of Wake Forest's pass rush, and it can operate as kind of a quasi-running game. Secondary is it's particularly corner, is where they're a little bit vulnerable. I do think that they can be had. I think that watching that Duke game, Duke's quarterback Thomas Cirque is out for the season, so he didn't play. And the guy that they were playing, I didn't think he was particularly accurate, but he was able to find some pretty good success against the secondary of Wake Forest. I think Richard Leggo can do the same if the play calling is set up for him to do that.
Yeah, and you mentioned the injuries earlier, TJ. Injuries are going to be a big factor in this game on both sides.
Yeah.
We've learned that Wake Forest, one of their quarterbacks, Kendall Hinton, who was named the starter after the Duke game, got hurt in the Delaware game, has a sprained, I believe, PCL, and will miss 2 to 4 weeks. And then their freshman running back, who's had a great season, Cade Carney, will also miss the game. He suffered an injury in practice and is looking for a return around October 8th. They said that hopefully he'll be back for that game. So two of Wake Forest's bigger weapons are out, but they still have a lot to fear on offense. John Walford, who has started a lot of games for this team, is going to start on Saturday. He's 25 for 46 for 251 yards, a touchdown and a pick. He, you know, people say, you know, there was a big difference between Hinton and Walford, but that's just not true. They run the same style of offense. Hinton was a better scrambler, but Walford can, he could run as well. You saw he had a big run against Delaware on a read option keeper, and he's athletic enough to hurt you with his feet. And he has a decent arm, not great, but they also have a great tight end and Cam Sarrigane. He's an all ACC caliber tight end. He has over 1,100 career receiving yards. I believe he has 9 career touchdowns. And look for them to use him kind of like FIU used Jonnu Smith against IU. And then Matt Colburn has run the ball very well at running back, averaging 4.5 yards a carry with the score on the ground. So this team, you know, if you look back at it last year, you know, the game was a one-score game with Wake going into the end zone with a Hail Mary at the end to try and tie it. But this team looks a lot better and more poised than last year's Wake Forest team. But, you know, we'll see what Indiana does. The defense looks better. And, you know, the biggest question injury-wise for Indiana is Dan Feeney going to be back? And, you know, it's a concussion and going through concussion protocols. Everybody responds differently. And this is something that Wilson has said regarding other injuries. You know, everybody's timetable is different. You can't say, you know, oh, Simi Cobbs has a broken ankle. It's going to be 6 to 8 weeks. And, you know, Jordan Fuchs has an ankle injury. It's going to be the exact same timetable. Everybody heals differently in different ways. So, you know, especially with head injuries, they're tricky. But, you know, he didn't give us an update on Feeney, just said that he was going through concussion protocol and that there was no negative news. To me, that's, you know, saying a couple sentences and not saying anything at all, which is a Wilson staple. But if Feeney's in, I think IU's offense is good enough to, you know, put the clamps down on Wake Forest defense. If Feeney's not in, they're going to have to adjust. They have to play better than they did against Ball State, because this Wake Forest front is going to get after you. TJ, let's take a little break for a second. Talk about Wilson's comments from Monday's press conference. He, you know, either called it, depends how you look at it. He either called out the fan base or challenged the fan base to stay throughout the entire game. It's something that has plagued IU football for a long time. You know, fans leaving at halftime. He said that his team played like the fans and left in the fourth quarter. It's a shot both at his team and kind of at the fans. But basically he said, get a better cooler. It'll keep your beer cool. And just, you know, hang tough through the fourth quarter and help us win games. And it goes back to Terry Heppner. When you his motto was crowds help win games, and Wilson alluded back to that. But to me, you know, personally, as a huge IU fan, I was fired up by those, by that quote. You know, it's something that bugs me a little bit. I get it was Ball State. I get the team was up by 30, and I get that, you know, we've all been punched in the gut by this team, and it's hard to come back. And, you know, if you've been, you know, punched in the gut for 20 years, eventually you teach yourself not to get punched in the gut anymore. And so a lot of trust that needs to be earned back by this Indiana football team. But this is the best that this program has been probably in 20 years. They're looking at going to back-to-back bowl games. They're exciting to watch. Their offense last year led the Big Ten. They have a very good home schedule playing in the Big Ten East. you know, some of the non-conference games, their matchup non-conference games. That's what you have to do. You have to understand, you know, TJ, you see a lot of the complaints about basketball's non-conference schedule playing, you know, these RPI 1,000 teams at home. Mm-hmm. Well, in football, it's a little bit different. You're at 9 conference games now. Fans want bowl games, and you need 6 wins to get to a bowl game. So, you know, instead of scheduling teams like Oregon and Missouri and Navy, who might, you know, be a better ticket on paper to go to, you got to find games that you can win. And, you know, playing a matchup game like Wake Forest and down the road in Cincinnati, Louisville might not be a matchup game in the next couple of years, but, you know, finding these games that you could win at home without, you know, scheduling an FCS team is difficult. And fans have to start to understand and understand college football scheduling. It's different than college basketball. And to me, it's, you know, I think he was 100% correct in doing it. But, you know, on the other side, as a media member, it killed me. I hated it. It's something that, you know, it's, look, we're talking about it in the pregame show. It's taking away from talking about 2 undefeated teams playing on Saturday in a big game that's leading up to an even bigger game as IU opens up Big Ten season. So, hopefully the fans see it as a challenge. Hopefully they show up on Saturday. It's a 3:30 kick. It's not, you know, a nooner. The weather's going to be good. The forecast is better. Yeah, maybe fans should show up. You know, we'll show up better. It's a better opponent than Ball State, and it should be a good game. But to me, just saying that, knowing, you know, the people around Indiana football, it's something that, you know, you look at all, you know, the IDS coverage and all that, it's all about what Wilson said about the fans. It's not about an undefeated Indiana team taking on an undefeated Wake Forest team at 3:30 on Saturday, and that's what makes me mad. What's your opinion, TJ?
I certainly understand the line of thinking that it's taking away from the game, and that as a result, he shouldn't have said that. I totally understand that line of thinking. I kind of go back to, well, is he wrong? And to me, the answer is absolutely no. Kevin Wilson was completely correct. And I think it's important to take the entire context of what he said and look at everything that he said. He also, you know, mentioned that and he has done this repeatedly, the crowd in the first half was really good and that his team fed off the energy. And that is a compliment to the fans, which is not really being used as part of any story. It's, you know, almost every story that I've read is just mentioning the remarks about the fourth quarter, which I understand those are the more newsworthy quotes, but I don't think it's entirely fair to just take, you know, one half of what he said. He also mentioned, you know, there were a lot of people there, and the energy was really high to begin that game when Indiana got out to a 30-0 lead. And it was. You know, the crowds are better right now than they have been in a long time. I feel like it came across on TV, it really did, in that first half. The turf looked great. It looked like a large, you know, a mostly filled Memorial Stadium. The corners were empty, but you know, that's not a surprise at all, but it was a mostly filled Memorial Stadium, and it's pretty loud. It seemed like the energy was good. And he mentioned that, and he said the team fed off of it. And then in that second half, there's a noticeable gap between what the first half crowd looks like and the second half crowd looks like. I don't understand it. I don't know why you would pay for a product and then leave before you've gotten to see everything you paid for. I don't understand that. I've never thought that way. So it doesn't entirely make sense to me. I'm not a drinker, so I have no desire to go outside to drink. I don't get that aspect of it either, but I know that for a lot of people, it's a social thing, and they've had as much as they want to take after a half, and I teach his own, but everybody's right to leave whenever they want to, but I would suggest that what the majority of people that go to these games want is for Indiana to be the best program it can be. And one way to help that, and I believe this, coaches will say this, I don't believe it's just coach speak. One way to help that is to have a good home field advantage via a good crowd, an energetic crowd, a loud crowd. I think it does help your team. There's a reason that teams do better at home than they do on the road in college. There's a reason that occurs, and it's not just because they slept in their beds the night before. One way to – the only way, really, that a fan is able to actively help his program or her program is by going to the game and cheering and staying. If you're dissatisfied with the product, then, I use getting blown out time, then I guess, okay, you can leave. But I don't know why you'd leave a 30-0 game. It's fun to watch your team ahead, so I don't really know why you'd leave then either. So I don't understand why people are leaving. I know the reasons that are given, but they don't line up with my thinking, so I can understand them without agreeing with them. I guess that I understand where Kevin Wilson's coming from. I also understand that, it takes away from the game and it's just going to be the thing that's focused on. I'll go back to if Indiana can win this game and be 3-0 going into that Michigan State contest, which, if Michigan State beats Wisconsin, they're going to be a top, at minimum, a top 8 team coming to Memorial Stadium to play a 3-0 IU team in the Big Ten opener in primetime. That's going to be a great atmosphere, regardless of what Kevin Wilson said about the fans. I don't think it's a calling out. I think it's a challenging of the fans, and I hope that they take it that way and say, well, okay, Kevin Wilson, you want us to stay for the second half. We'll do it. We'll see what happens, and we'll see if your second half performance improves. And, I can't imagine that people would regret hanging around for a second half if Indiana plays well and gets a victory. I can't imagine that's something people regret doing. So hopefully people give it a chance. Stay for the three and a half, 4 hours. I know games can be kind of long, especially with the replay reviews and all that. I get that. I know that. I just hope people plan that time investment into it, and if they decide to go to the game, that they give it a chance, stay for the whole thing. And like Kevin Wilson said, the last six games, Indiana's lost in overtime twice and won the other four. So hang around and see what happens. So I hope that's what happens, and we can spend next week just recapping a win and then previewing it and not have to delve into it. But yeah, that's my thinking, and I guess we get back to previewing Wake Forest and just see what the second half crowd looks like on Saturday.
Just a last thought on that. Game time, length of game is something that's heard discussed a lot about it. And even as sitting in the press box, there's, the first half you're jacked up, your adrenaline's going. And then it's something that needs to be changed is every play that, it doesn't even have to be 50-50. There are plays that are obviously that's the correct call on the field and they go to replay and it just takes too darn long. And then halftime is too long. You're jacked up, ready to go. You had a good first half. We're excited. And then you have, I think it's an 17 or 18 minute lull. And, with all due respect, the marching 100 needs to be better too. They're okay, but I mean there are marching bands way better. But I think that the game's taking way too long, and you kind of I know you're not a drinker, but you lose that buzz, that day drinking buzz that you have, and you kind of hit you start crashing from an adrenaline rush to start the game, and it's time to take a nap or you know, go get another drink or something like that. But that's my final thought on it. It's maybe, you know, quickening up the pace of the game, finding some way to review plays a little bit faster, a little bit better. And then, you know, trying to, you know, pump this crowd up at halftime, make them stay or have a reason to stay. And maybe that is selling alcohol in the stadium. Back to Wake Forest. Let's get to keys to the game. Keys to victory, TJ. My first key to the victory is keeping Richard Lego upright and kind of neutralizing this Wake Forest line. We saw it last week in the second half with Dan Feeney out. You know, Lego was sacked 4 times in that game, and then they could get nothing going on offense in that late second half and kind of grounded out and got that 10-point victory. But this is a much better front than Ball State, and you can't have a performance like that. So to me, having a challenge, and I talked to Coach Fry yesterday, they're up for the challenge. They've been pushing these guys in practice to their limits and getting ready. They have a lot of respect for this Wake Forest line. So this, you know, it's a veteran line. They've played a lot of football. They just need to gel together. And if Feeney's back, I think they have a very good shot of becoming that line you saw more last year and in the FIU game than in the second half of the Ball State game. So that's my my first key to victory.
That's hard to argue with. I think it's easy to underestimate the impact that losing Dan Feeney in the middle of a game can have on IU's offense. I think that we do a pretty good job of understanding his importance, but he's such an integral part of the IU offensive line and really the IU offense in general that it's, you know, when he just leaves in the second quarter with an injury, I do think that had a massive impact. And I think Indiana's offensive line, the performance of it over, you know, the past couple seasons, I think you have to give them the benefit of the doubt until proven otherwise. That second half was just kind of a low watermark mirage that is not going to repeat itself very often. That's certainly what we're hoping, but it's a really important factor to this game. And I think you could flip it and say Wake Forest offensive line against IU's front, as with any game, you know, the trenches are going to be a big battle point. But Wake Forest is going to look to establish that run. Indiana's done a good job against the run so far this year in their 2 games, so we'll see if they can keep that up against what's likely. I would say it's likely to be 3 different running backs they're going to see. With Carney out, you're going to look at Matt Colburn, and then they've also got a guy, Rocky Reed and Tyler Bell, that are, you know, capable second and third backs. And then John Wolford is, like you said, he's a capable runner. He's not going to be somebody that you necessarily lose sleep over him running or throwing, but he's just a solid two-way or dual-threat guy. I think that Kendall Hinton, the offense is more capable of big plays with Kendall Hinton in there than they are Wolford. But the line of scrimmage on both sides. But for me, Indiana's offense has got to do a better job, and we've talked about this repeatedly. They've got to do a better job with 2 things. Number one, third downs. They were terrible against Ball State on third down. Just awful. They really need to do a much better job of that. And then converting on those scoring chances. You know, when you get inside the 40 for the opponent, get inside that scoring zone, you've got to come away with points. And against Wake Forest, you're not going to be in there all that often. It's not like every possession you're going to be able to march down there and get into the scoring zone. So when you do get those chances, you have to convert. You know, ideally, you're converting for touchdowns, but getting points on the board is going to be a big thing anytime you get inside those scoring zones. That means you know, not getting bad penalties like false starts or holdings. That means not allowing Wake Forest to create negative plays to put you behind the chains. That means executing on your play calls, whether that's, you know, being a little bit more creative with how you try to attack the end zone, whether that means, you know, not dropping balls, which has not been a problem so far this year, but you just have to be really sharp when you get down in there because it's going to be a tough defense to punch the ball in on.
Yeah, and you're exactly right, and that's part of the problem Duke had against this team was getting those little plays in the red zone on third down and leaving points on the field. Indiana was 2-for-13 against Ball State on third downs. It was absolutely abysmal. And that, you know, you take the words right out of my mouth on that for another key to the game. That's going to be huge. It's, you know, can they extend drives on this team? Can they turn those, you know, 28-yard field goals into touchdowns and get points and really extend the lead on this Wake Forest team? They can't do what they did against Ball State on that first drive where, you know, they had the ball down at the 5-yard line and Camille had a stupid penalty that knocked them back 15 yards and they settled for 3. And it brings me to my next key to the game is get those tack on points. This Wake Forest team, they don't score a lot. They're, I believe, 13th in the ACC in yards per play in total yards and points scored. They're around 12. So if Indiana, you know, you score a touchdown on that first drive, if you could get out to a lead, you know, a 2-score lead and make the 2-score lead into a 3-score lead, you're going to put Wake Forest into situations that they don't excel at. Throwing the ball, throwing it downfield, and trying to hit the big play. And then, you know, offensively for Indiana, you could do a little bit more stuff, you know, with in terms of plays, getting creative. And all that. So really getting those tack on points, turning a 1-score lead into a 2-score lead and a 2-score lead into a 3-score lead is going to be huge because Wake Forest, it takes all their effort to score. And, you know, there's only so much time in the game. And, you know, if you're up 2 or 3 scores, you'd think that, you know, as long as they don't go into a shell like they did against Ball State, Indiana should be able to move the ball well enough, keep tacking on points and make it that much more difficult for Wake Forest to come back.
Yeah, they don't, they played 3 games and they don't have a receiver with more than 6 catches or more than 96 yards. Alex Bachman's their leading receiver with 6 catches and 96 yards. Nobody has more catches or yards than that. And that's through 3 games. That tells you they don't generate a lot of big pass plays. They're not, so far, they've not shown to be capable of hurting you with big pass plays. They've had some big running plays, but, I mean, they don't generate a lot of big plays, and they don't give up a lot of big plays. Tulane only had 1 play of more than 25 yards. Duke had 2 plays of more than 25 yards. And Delaware, their longest play was 16. So that's 3 plays over 25 yards in the span of 3 games. So, they don't get a lot of big plays. They don't give up a lot of big plays. So it's going to be up to Indiana to keep their offense limited while also creating some big plays of their own, which Wake has not been one to give up. I'm going to be pretty interested to see how much Indiana, I mean, if they can establish that running game, then I think they can have success with play action passes over the top. You know, we saw Nick Westbrook make a couple of big plays against Ball State. I think that you could see him. You could see Ricky Jones. You could, you know, somebody like Donovan Hale maybe get involved in the vertical threat. And, you know, it's an IU podcast of ours, so we are, I guess, almost contractually obligated to mention that Kamyon Patrick might be playing in this game. I know that we have talked about his name. We've written about his name for a long, long time. I know to some he seems like an urban legend, And he's just beginning to get that way with me as well, to where I've just built it up so much in my head that I don't think he can actually live up to the player that I'm hoping for. But there's no doubt he's a very talented player. He's going to line up at wide receiver and some running back, but mostly wide receiver, which is, you know, particularly helpful with Simi Cobbs being out. He can be a big explosive play guy, and if he could play in this game, that'd be a nice boost to the offense and give them another big play threat, which could be really useful against Wake Forest. You could also give him a red zone threat. That's something he excelled at junior college level, was converting red zone opportunities, red zone targets into touchdowns. So that could be a role that he gives IU a big boost at as well. So I'm interested to see what Indiana does a little bit differently in the red zone and on third down after this bye week. I don't know kind of what the options are because there are so many of them. So I'm not sure what they're gonna pursue, but I would expect you're gonna see a little bit more Richard Legault, maybe keeping the ball on some zone read stuff. I think we saw that very limited against FIU, did not see it against Ball State. I think you might see that on some third and shorts. I think you might see more screen passes, like I mentioned. And I would love to see, and I don't know why I keep mentioning it because it just doesn't appear to happen, but I would love to see the tight ends, Danny Friend and Ian Thomas, get involved on third and short in the passing game. Just have them set up on blocks and then just open up as a release valve target, you know, 5-6 yards down the field. I mean, Danny Friend's incredibly reliable, and he's going to be bigger than the Wake Forest linebackers that are going to be trying to cover him. So I'd like to see some of that. I don't know if you had any thoughts on what you'd like to see more of on third down, that they could do a little better job on, you know, the third and mediums that has been such a problem over the first 2 weeks of the season.
Yeah, and, you know, in regards to Cameron Patrick, he's in the same boat as Dan Feeney, Wilson said.
Right.
They're up waiting on getting him. It's up. Yeah, it's not in our hands. It's in the doctor's hands. And, you know, Cameron has been practicing. He's, you know, cleared for practice. So they're just waiting on getting game clearance. Could it be this week, or do they want to, you know, a lot of it might depend on, you know, of course, ultimately it comes down to the doctors, but you really need Cameron Patrick to win this game. And, you know, after seeing the fourth quarter last week, yeah, probably. Maybe it'd be nice to have him, or do you just save him and hold that ace up your sleeve until Michigan State next week? So,
nah.
You know, we'll see.
I think he's healthy. They're going to play him.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, just get his feet wet, and, you know, he hasn't seen a football field in a couple of years in terms of games. You know, we'll see. We'll see during warmups. You know, Camion's been going through warmups, so it'll be hard to tell. But like you were saying earlier to me, TJ, you know, we'll see if Dan Feeney's going through warmups. He's probably going to play. If he's not, then he's not going to play. But the injury concerns for IU are just those two. You know, you've lost Simi Cobbs.
Yeah.
And you'd really like to see Ricky Jones get back into the mix after, you know, don't want to say lackluster, but it was, you know, a disappearing act in terms of production on the field for Ricky Jones. So with that, let's get down to predictions. What's your prediction for Saturday, TJ?
I have a lot of respect for the Wake Forest defense, so I'm not going to predict Indiana to torch them. And I don't think that I don't think the Wake Forest offense is going to put up a ton on IU's defense either. I think it's going to be a different type of game than what we're used to seeing in Memorial Stadium. But I will go with Indiana winning this one 27-17, getting a late touchdown to put this game away. I don't think that it's going to be, and I know some people will then jump on, oh, it's the third straight week the offense hasn't been lights out. You know, it's cause for concern. No, I mean, if Indiana wins this game and puts up 27 points, I'll be very, very pleased with that. Because if you go in comparison to what other teams have done against Wake Forest defense, that would be a very nice day for the offense. So I'll go 27-17. I think that Richard Legault has a nice day through the air, and you know, maybe Divine Redding's able to get a little bit. I'd love to see Mike Majette and Devontae Williams get a chance to show what they can do with the ball on the edge. So I hope that Indiana finds a way to make that happen. If they do, I think that they can break a couple of nice plays to get Indiana over the top.
So you're going 27-17. With an IU victory, you know, a lot of the same things. I agree with you, TJ. I'm going to go IU 31, Wake Forest 20. I think if IU scores over 30 points, they'll win this game. I don't think Wake Forest has enough firepower, especially with Hinton and Carney out. If Walford struggles, they have a redshirt freshman behind him who hasn't played. So, you know, it's their margin of error in terms of offense has disappeared. The disguising quarterbacks getting, you know, prepared for two quarterbacks is now gone. And, you know, Hinton was a wild card. He was a very good scrambler, could give problems to IU. And they've lost that. And Carney was a big back, hard runner, and really could have worn down the Indiana line. They've lost that as well. And then I just think offensively, Indiana's got too much. We'd like to see Ricky Jones get more involved. You know, I think Divine Redding's going to have tough sledding all day. This game might end his 100-yard streak, you know, getting 100 yards. But, you know, I think they're going to use Devontae Williams and Mike Majette to kind of loosen up that defense, getting them to the edge, whether it is on screens, running to the outside, things like that. So, you know, I think Indiana has enough on offense to put up 30 points on this defense. And, you know, maybe the IU defense will get a few takeaways, set the offense up in good field position, and then, you know, start sealing this game. And, you know, we'll see. Wake can break off a couple big plays, maybe, you know, get a turnover or two and get some points on the board as well. But Indiana 31, Wake Forest 20 is my prediction. And then we'll head into next week with, you know, a big time matchup, especially if Michigan State knocks off Wisconsin this week.
Yeah, if Indiana gets the win here, and it is a big if. I mean, Wake Forest is I would say that this is a like 55-45 game percentage-wise. I haven't looked on, you know, the advanced stats pick center stuff, but I would guess it's somewhere between 55-60% for IU.
It started last week at 53%, and since the injury news has come out, it has moved, I believe, to 57%. I am checking right now. Yeah, 57.6% right now. In favor of IU. IU is now 7.5-point favorites. They opened up as 6.5-point favorites. So it's, you know, it's a road game for Wake. It's a trip where they're probably not going to bring a lot of fans. Hopefully the IU fan base takes what Wilson said as a challenge, not as a, you know, as a shot at them, but as a challenge, and embrace the challenge and show up and be loud and stay for the entire game and sing that fight song at the end of the game in the student section and see them raise the victory flag on the south end of Memorial Stadium. So, you know, there are a lot of factors that'll go against Wake Forest, but, you know, my prediction is based on Dan Feeney playing. If he doesn't play, it's all bets are off. You're missing an All-American lineman, and it'll really probably change the game and make it a lot closer than it would be without or with him in the lineup.
I agree. Yeah, you know, it's not often you get a chance to be unbeaten and host the top 10 team at night. And that's something Indiana would get the chance to do, most likely, if they can play well enough to get the win Saturday against Wake Forest. So I'm hoping we get the chance to experience that. I think it'd be a great week for Indiana football if we could have Michigan State coming in as a top 10 team as a Big Ten opener with Indiana at 3-0 under the lights. And I think that'd be a whole lot of fun. So I hope we get a chance to do that. But you got to take care of business first. And I know the players and coaches are not looking ahead to Michigan State. They do have a lot of respect for Wake Forest. And I do too. I have a lot of respect for that defense. And I think Dave Glossen's a really capable head coach. So I think it's going to be a pretty fun game on Saturday and one that I'm anxious to see, especially after sitting back and watching other teams play on Saturday. It'll be good to have Indiana back on the TV here, like you said, for 10 straight weeks. It's going to be a grind, but it's one I know we at Hoosier Huddle are looking forward to, and I'm sure the players and coaches are anxious for the challenge as well. So let's get to it. I'm ready. I'm unfortunate that it's still Wednesday. I'll say that.
Yeah, it's really felt like another 100 days since IU's played. But TJ, all focus. We don't want to look ahead. I mean, as tempting as it is, and as juicy of a game next week could be, IU needs to focus on this week and not get caught in thinking, well, we open up Big Ten play with Michigan State, who very well could be a top 10 team, top 8 team, Ohio State, who could be the number one team in the country, and Nebraska, who has cracked the top 25 and is looking very, very, very good. So it's 10 straight weeks. It's going to be physically demanding, mentally demanding for players and coaches. This game is a must-win game, I believe, just because you got to get out of non-conference 3-0 when you have the shot. You're facing three very difficult opponents coming up, and you'd rather be, worst-case scenario, 3-3 instead of 2-4 coming out of that and heading up to Northwestern. Go ahead.
Plus here takes away your, any padding or margin for error you have in the rest of the season. You'd be going through the remaining 9 weeks with really little to no margin for error, unless you're able to pull off a big upset. So winning on Saturday keeps you, I guess you'd say, on schedule to accomplish your goals. A loss kind of takes away that little bit of margin for error you have to get to 6 wins. And that's not a place you want to be in after 3 games. It's a crucial game. So I'm confident that the players and coaches have used this bye week very well. I'm confident in the coaching staff, and every indication we've gotten in culture of this team is not one that they just, sit around for 2 weeks and think everything was hunky-dory and come out expecting to play well on Saturday after not doing anything for 2 weeks. I don't think that that's what happened. I think they used the 2 weeks well. I think the coaching staff will have them prepared. I don't think they're going to be looking ahead to Michigan State. It's just a matter of going out and getting the job done.
Yeah, that's tremendously correct. Everybody's focused on this game, and let us in the media worry about the next game. But it should be a good game.
Yeah, we're good at that.
Yeah, it should be a good game. 3:30 is a great time for a football game in Bloomington. The weather is supposed to be spectacular, so it's perfect for tailgating, and it'll be perfect as it cools down later in the afternoon to get ready, to watch some football. And hopefully, fans take that challenge and stay through the game. And, another thing that you'd want to see is, just you know, have fun. See how you respond. Show this team and Coach Wilson that, hey, we want a good football team. We're on the same page. Show us what you could do and challenge that team to, hey, we showed up. We did our part. Now you go beat Wake Forest and show us that this is why we have to show up the next week and keep showing up. So see what happens in terms of that. The game is, I think, one of five or one of six Power Five conference, one of four Power Five conference undefeated matchups this week. So it's, you know, on paper, it doesn't scream out as one of the better games, but this is a good matchup. It should be an exciting game. And, you know, keep following Hoosier Huddle. We'll have our pregame coverage. We started it already. You know, we had the Know Your Opponent. Key to the game is coming up tomorrow. Our matchup to watch is Duke Ejiofor. It's not Ejiofor. It's Ejiofor. There's no L in it, against Brandon Knight and Coy Cronk. So take a look at that. And then we have, you know, TJ, your primer's coming out on Friday to get everybody ready for the game. So, TJ, thanks for joining us, guys, you know, IU fans, and, you know, maybe some Wake Forest fans, thanks for listening. And, we'll be back, either Sunday, Monday, hopefully, in a victorious, post-game podcast.
Absolutely, yeah, that's our goal, is to have fun on Saturday and IU to get a win so we can have fun on Monday talking about the game and begin looking ahead to Michigan State. Either way, those, you know, those big games are going to be there, but they'll feel a lot better if you're coming off of a win. So thanks everybody for listening. Always have a lot of fun bringing this to you, so if you enjoy it, have a great rest of the week and get to Saturday safely so we can enjoy the Hoosiers.
Yes, thanks for listening. We'll be back later in the week after the game for our post-game podcast. Do visit HoosierHuddle.com often. Follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle as we get ready for Wake Forest this week. Thanks for listening and enjoy the rest of your day.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.